You have a Bible this morning. King James Bible. Amen. I was going over this yesterday and just kind of thinking about and praying about where to go with it. We're still technically in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're dealing with the gifts of the Spirit. And I just wanted to kind of unhook the train just for a little bit, so we could get some good idea about why it is we believe what we believe, where we believe is found, where it comes from. And something that I did years ago, and I still do it, is that I just decided that I was just going to ask God the doctrines. I was going to ask God what to believe, how to believe, and so on. And not in any, I don't have this idea that everybody's wrong until I came along. I don't believe that at all. I've had some good pastor teachers over the years who've taught me some good things, and I praise God for that. When I started studying numbers in the Bible several years ago, I had a book written by a fellow by the name of Ed Vallow. And he was a Baptist minister and just a good, godly man. I liked what I read because he used the King James. And he was getting ideas about what numbers meant from the Bible. And he had a list of what they meant and so on. And I read the book. And when I got done, I closed the book and I prayed. And I said, God, that's what this man said. Now, he used the Bible, but that's what he said. And so, God, I don't know that. I don't know that this is true or not, so I want you to show it to me in the Bible what they mean. And that's what God did. And I'm still learning, just like everybody else does. But anyway, I just decided if God says it, then it's right. If man says it, it may or may not be. And we have to be careful. And something I think is very important to know as we learn things, and as we grow as Christians, and we want God to do things, we want God to grow us and nurture us. If man can preach it into you, some other man can preach it out of you. Okay? And you just think about that. If some guy can say, well, this is the way it ought to be, somebody else can come along with something else different and bring it out of you. But if God puts it in you, it's there. When the Genesis chapter 1, when God said, let there be light, there was light. There was no argument about it. There was no vote. Just light happened when God said. And so if you ever want light, don't plan on getting your light from men. I need to say this. Two things I know in the gospel. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He said that, but then he looked at his disciples and he said, ye are the light of the world. And in that, he means that his true disciples will bear the light that's given to us by Christ, and we will shine as lights in the world of darkness. We'll shine with that true light. And so this is why I encourage everybody, when you're talking to people about things in the Bible, quote Scripture. Even if it's just two or three words of Scripture, quote Scripture. Give them the words of God rather than the words of men. And so in Acts chapter 20, verse 26, here's what Paul was saying. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned, this is what Paul's teaching, I have not shunned to declare unto you, here's the phrase, all the counsel of God. All the counsel of God. From everything that they had of the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, through the gospel story, although at this time it probably has not been recorded down in writing. And so, but Paul is telling them the whole counsel, or all the counsel of God. He wasn't saying, well, I can't really tell you this part, I can't tell you this part, but what I can tell you is this. He told them the whole thing. And then he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now I'll give you an example of not following in the line of men before me. And it's in this verse right here. Several years ago, I was introduced to a doctrinal idea that came from a former pastor of this church years and years and years ago. And I thought I knew the man, and I got sent this article that he had written, and I thought, well, there's some controversy about the blood of Christ, and he's just clearing up what we believe about it. Later on, some guys came to me and said, did you hear about what he wrote? And I said, well, I saw it. What was it about? They said, he is denying the blood atonement of Christ. He is denying that it's the blood that atones for the sins of mankind, that is simply the death. And I went, what? And when I got back home, I pulled that article up and I read it. This man had denied, a man who stood behind this pulpit, denied the blood atonement, denied that the blood had any part in your salvation. That blood, he was very well educated, had a lot of words that he used. Some of which you'll go a whole lifetime and never speak them. He said blood is a metonym for death in the Bible. In other words, when you see blood, you can just say, well, it's just death. That's what it is. And I'm one of these that says, well, no, if it says blood, then it means blood. When Moses, and we have the prototype of the Old Testament, the Bible clearly says that there almost nothing in the Old Testament was sanctified without blood. In other words, blood sprinkled upon everything in the Old Testament to sanctify it. And that was just Old Testament stuff. How much more the New Testament? Then he went on to talk about how the blood of Jesus was not in any way or in any shape divine. And he used the illustration that, well, then we would have to say that his spit and his sweat and other bodily fluids would also be divine as well. Bible doesn't say anything about it, but it does talk about the divine blood of Christ. Christ was fully God, fully man. His Father was God in heaven. There is no taking away from that. And so he denied the blood atonement according to how he read the Greek. Now, that's where you get into it right there. And so you look at this verse. In verse 28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, and to feed the church of who? God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. How clear is that? God purchased the church with his own blood. Now, I know this verse in the Bible. That pastor knows this verse is in the Bible. Let me tell you how he does. Let me tell you how he gets around this. See, if you want to believe something and you're just dead set in it, Phil, you can get out of it. Okay? If the Bible contradicts it, you can get out of it. All you have to do is get a concordance out and start using a Greek or Hebrew concordance and start worming your way through the words and through all the possible word uses that this one word might have until you find one that makes it look like it doesn't say what it really says. So here's what these esteemed scholars come up with. Which he hath purchased with his son's own blood. They say, now a very careful reading of the Greek implies that it's the blood of his son. That's not what it says. It says God with his own blood. And so here's what I'm telling you. I am now the man behind this pulpit. If I say something, not contradictory to what Dr. So-and-so said, or what, if I say something that is contradictory to every word in this book, then you follow the book. You follow that book. You be led by the scriptures. Don't base what you believe upon what I say. Follow the book. Amen? Matthew 15:8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but the heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I'm not going to get specific today and don't have time. I'm going to try to finish this out. But the bottom line is, if it comes out of a pulpit, a lectern, if it comes out in a book somewhere, and I know fundamental King James Bible preachers are guilty. We are guilty of saying things that are not in the Scriptures. The doctrines, the things that you believe, must come from the Bible. And I would say this. I would think that they have to be plainly written in the Bible. Plainly. And if they're not there plainly, I don't think I'd just really rest on it until I knew from the Bible what it was saying. The Bible, I believe the Bible speaks plainly. Paul said that we use plainness of speech and not as Moses. I think it was Hosea, I might be wrong on that. But he said, take these words that I give you and write them and make them plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. Now, brothers, don't write them out secret. Don't write it in some mystical thing that nobody could ever figure out except for the esteemed reverends or the esteemed doctors who've had the advanced training who know what they mean. He said they're plainly written. And if they're plainly written, then plainly understand it. I have a good friend of mine who, in fact, he called me this weekend. I'm going to call him back. That he has a doctorate in theology. He was a buddy of mine in college. He went on to get his master's. I dropped out. He's got his doctorate. I didn't get anything, okay? But here's what I know about him. I know he loves the Lord, and I know he loves the Bible. And he told me, he said, Mike, here's something. He said, even though I've got this and that and the other, he said, here's what it is. He said, the more simple it is, the more correct it is when it comes to the Bible. If it's simple, then it's probably right. If it's real drawn out and complicated and it takes a long time for you, he said, it's probably not right. And that comes from a doctor, okay? So anyway, but in vain they do worship me for teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And in Titus chapter 1, verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Paul knew what he was talking about. Jewish fables and Jewish mysticism was around in Paul's day. It is around right now. It is stealing people out of the flock of God. It's Hebrews roots or in some cases a lot of Messianic Judaism, things like that, is at its core based upon Jewish fables or Jewish mysticism and not giving heed to the commandments of men that turn from the truth. And here's what I see a lot of on social media and places like that, where people are condemning other people. Here's what they do. They watch and prowl the internet looking for you to make statements about yourself. They then think that God has called them and ordained them to go after you and correct everything that you do and everything that you say. They chastise you, telling you that you're not really Christian, you're not really saved, that you're a blaspheming sinner, and you're on your way to hell. And I called a guy down on this, and of course he went and tried to ruin my reputation on the internet. He made a statement around Halloween last year, and he said, I'm telling you, if you have anything to do with anything of Halloween whatsoever, you are blaspheming God and you're denying the salvation that God... But what he's saying is, if you gave a kid a piece of candy, you're going to burn in hell and you cannot be saved. That is not biblical. It's not biblical. He set himself up with his idea, and he then tells you, if you go against me, you're not going to heaven. And I called him down on it. I wrote him a private message and I said, you have no right to tell anybody that. You are not their judge, their creator. You did not write the scriptures. You will not be sitting on the throne judging them when they stand before God. So then he runs out and he says, oh, Mike Hoggard, he's in with you. If I disagree with somebody, I'm in the Illuminati. I'm not kidding you. And so anyway, and here's what people will do. They will take things that they have decided are wrong and make them into sinful acts that if you commit them, you're not saved or you're going to hell regardless. And let me tell you what sin is. In fact, you give me the biblical definition of sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. And if it's not in the law, it's not sin. God is not taking a poll right now on what everybody thinks is wrong, and he's going to use that against you on the day of your judgment. If it's not in the Bible, it's not a sin. Okay? So be careful. Don't let anybody put you into condemnation by the commandments of men. Don't let them do it. All right? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. A lot of preachers, but in the power of God. A lot of preachers have manipulated. They have, let me give you an example. And this is something here. When I see this, I just know there's a different spirit there. These churches, believe it or not, churches all over the country are putting on, for the Sunday morning preaching, they're giving dirty talks to couples about how they could have better romance. And I'm not even using the language that they're using. They'll run four sermons in a row, and they'll put billboards all over town featuring four legs sticking out of the end of a bed. And it's the idea to get everybody to lust in the flesh to get them to their church. And then they'll justify it and say, God this and God this and God says and God wants this and God wants that. And any time I hear someone try to teach things or say things and they're not quoting scripture, I'm turning that guy off. I am. I'm turning it out. And I have been to preaching conferences where, as far as I knew, the only thing that everybody believed was the King James Bible. And I've been to preaching conferences where the preacher would get up at the beginning of his message, give one verse of scripture at the beginning, preach for 45 minutes, and never quote another verse. That's not preaching the word. That, you know what that is? That is the wisdom of men. It's the wisdom of men. I could run down to the south here, run down to Arkansas and Mississippi and Alabama, and I put me on a drawl, and I'd talk about fried taters and cornbread and beans. And I could talk like that, talk about coon hunting and everything, and build up that idea and get amens from all over the building. But it's not preaching the word. And I'm not just making fun of people down the south. I was born down there. Okay, I can handle that. But just about in any place you go, if a guy's going to preach and he mentions one verse at the beginning of his message and he preaches for 30, 40, 50 minutes and never mentions another verse in Scripture, that is not preaching the Word. Give them Scripture. Give them verses out of the Bible, one after another. Your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men. And I want you to listen to that. If your faith is in the wisdom of men, it will not stand. It'll crumple. It'll fall. In the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. And so if the high people of this world teach things and they themselves come to naught, then the things they teach will also fall away. The Apostle Paul is dead. He has been dead now for some, 20 or 1900 some odd years. I don't know when he died, but he's been dead a long time. If our doctrine and our faith was built upon the Apostle Paul's wisdom, it would not have lasted till today. It would not be around today. It would be gone. It has existed upon the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Stop right here. Here is another clue. Another clue as to whether or not it's coming from God or not. If it's free. If it's free. If I had some great big teaching that I had and told people, now This teaching is essential. It's vital for you to know this. And it can be yours for your love gift of $49.95 plus $29.95 shipping and handling. That's $80. And then when you go, $80, they'll follow it up with, surely something this important, that's not too much to ask. Surely something that's this vital to your life, that's not too much to ask. It's freely given. God dealt with me on that. I went over and talked to Sterling about it one day. And I said, here I am running around places with things that God has given me, selling books, making people pay for it. I said, it ain't right. It ain't right. God's good and nailed me for it, and it's not right. And so if it's from God, it's freely given. Amen. Freely given, okay? Which things also we speak, verse 13, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so if I'm trying to show you something out of 1 Corinthians 12, and you're not sure you're going to believe it, then I'm not going to try to give you some story that I heard. I'm not going to try to say, well, we've had some people that had experiences with this, and I'm not going to give you that. The thing that I'm laying out for everybody, 1 Corinthians 12, is that the gifts of the Spirit are still operating, but they are operating through the pages of the Bible. The gift of the Spirit of wisdom, the gift of wisdom, word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, words of prophecy, things like that. They are in operation right now through the pages of the Scriptures. I'm not going to just line up with stories of how people didn't like something that was taught in a Pentecostal church, and so they left and they found that this is better. I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through the Scriptures, and I'm going to show you from the script, from spiritual things. Because how many of you believe that what Solomon wrote in Proverbs was inspired by God? Raise your hand. How many of you believe that? That's the Word of God. The Psalms, likewise. 1 Samuel, likewise. Genesis, likewise. What Paul wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so if I believe something, and I'm going to teach it to you, I have an obligation to hold a high standard and teach it to you using the words. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And this is why I've said to you what I've said. If you're going to talk to somebody about things, maybe things that are going on, or they've got questions, don't try to be smart. You're not good at it. Amen? And I'm not just saying that from me looking down everybody. I'm not good at it. Use the wisdom of God and give them words that the Holy Ghost gave. Give them verses. Give them pieces of Scripture. Because if you teach that way or you talk that way to people, then your light will so shine before men. People will recognize that as something that didn't come from you. It came from the Holy Spirit. And that's how, by the way, that's how people are saved, is it not? They're saved. I've heard preachers brag about how they would preach and then go down and lead someone to Jesus without ever using Scripture. I don't know that I'd brag about that. Because then that almost makes it you saved them instead of God saving them. So to those of you listening to me today, learn Scripture. You may not be able to quote chapter and verse. That's okay. You may not be able to say, now it says right here, you may not be able to do that. But just about anybody in here can memorize 4, 5, 6 words out of a verse. How many of you know John 3:16? See how simple that is? And how do you know it? We've repeated it over and over and over again. And give them the words of God. Give them the things which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so if I'm trying to discover what the book of Revelation is trying to reveal, I'm not going to read any other source on that book other than Genesis through Jude. That's what I'm going to do. Or Genesis through Revelation. I'm going to try to understand what God's showing in the book of Revelation from looking at the whole of the rest of the scriptures. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to say this too. Get your eschatology. Eschatology is a word that we use. Eschatos means last or end times. Get your doctrines of the end days, the last days, from the Bible instead of from the charts, instead of from men. When God called me into this ministry, what I wanted to do was go buy some new prophecy books and get studied up on them. See what the latest trends were. See what everybody else was saying. And God yanked my chain and said, no, that's not what I want you to do. Really? Well, how am I going to teach this, Lord? I wrote a book called Prophecy. You'll read it. Okay, where do you want me to start? Just start reading. And that's what God did. And so the things that I teach, before I say it, before I can teach it, I've got to know it. And the only way that I really know it is if I know it from the pages of the Scripture. Does it contradict the Bible? In what I'm teaching, does it contradict the Bible? I don't care if it contradicts what ideas you've laid up in your mind about how you think things are going to be. If it contradicts that, I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is if I teach it and it contradicts Scripture, then I'm in trouble. And me and God made a deal a long time ago. Actually, I'm the one that just agreed to the deal. Okay? It was God's deal. The first time I ever was called to go to a church, it was down in Little Rock, Arkansas, and teach on prophecy. Before I went down there, I was shaking in my boots. And I prayed and I said, God, please, I'm not interested in going down there telling anybody something that's not true. Don't let me do that. I don't care what everybody else says. I don't want to say anything that's not true. And that's just been in my mind the whole time. I'm not saying I'm smart. I'm not saying I'm always right. What I'm saying to you is that before I get up and tell everybody what I think, I'm going to have me about 20 verses to arm myself with it, so I can show you line upon line, scripture upon scripture. Deuteronomy 32. God said, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. I want you to look out, when you leave out of church here, I want you to go out here and look at this front lawn out here in the church. Every blade of grass out there, I mean, is just the prettiest green that you'll ever see. You're not going to see it. You're not going to see that in July now, all right? Look at it now and ask yourself the question, are any of those blades of grass out there, is some of those blades of grass better than other blades of grass out there? No, they're all the same. Did God only water a certain portion of that grass and then expect that grass to distribute the water out to all the other blades of grass? No, he sent it all down the same upon every blade of grass, did he not? You're the grass. You're the blades of grass. Us sitting in this room are the blades of grass. And when the doctrine comes down from God, it doesn't all fall on me, and then you have to come to me to get it. Does that make sense to everybody? I know that God ordains pastors. God ordains teachers. I believe in that. God has gifted me. I always tell people, don't think too much of me. I just have a big mouth. That's all I've got. I got a big, fat mouth that doesn't know how to shut up. You can say amen to that if you want. Amen to that. Okay. I had in fifth grade that my teacher had me sit by his desk the whole school year. You know why, Phil?
Couldn't keep my mouth shut. Okay? Do what, Jimmy?
I had to stand in the hall.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh. So anyway, I'm not anybody more special as far as getting revelation from God than anybody else is. But God has given me an ability. He's given me a gift to be able to say it plainly, to be able to try to help you understand it, to give out verses and verses and verses and so on. But as far as knowing the doctrines of the Bible, Sister Betty back here can read this book and understand it just like everybody else can. She can read the book and understand that Christ died for her sins and shed his blood on the cross. Amen? She can understand it just like everybody else does. So don't... The Catholic Church told everybody, you don't you dare try to understand that Bible. We'll tell you what it means. That's not what he says here. He says, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe you greatness unto our God. Publish is this. It's published. Everybody has access to it. It's not in private and secret. Proverbs 4:1, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. He's also telling you that his doctrine is contained in his law. Go read Leviticus. Go read Exodus. Go read Numbers. Go read those books. You'll get understanding. Isaiah 28:9, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? God is looking for people that he can teach doctrine to. Not just a select few. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. In other words, here a little and there a little. It means you're going to read a little bit out of Isaiah, and you're going to read a little bit out of Proverbs. You're going to read a little bit out of Genesis. You're going to read a little bit out of Ephesians. Move around in the Bible. Go all over the place in the Bible. And what God's going to do. And by the way, he says, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 tells us, with men of other tongues. So what that means is that God is not only going to speak through the Hebrew Old Testament. He's going to speak through, in the New Testament it was Greek. But now it's in English. He's speaking to us in our English Bibles. You know what that means? If you don't know Hebrew and Greek, which you don't need it. And I'll tell you something. I'm going to show you how to find out who the wolves are, who the false teachers are. The first thing they'll do is when they run into a verse that does not agree with their doctrine, they're going to retranslate it for you out of the Hebrew and Greek. They're going to tell you, now it looks like it disagrees with what I just said. However, if you look carefully at the Greek, and you get a concordance out, and it'll give you 15 words that word, one word might be translated as, if you go to the 14th one, it'll actually say what I'm saying to you today. So in other words, 54 scholars working 7 years nonstop on the King James Bible got it wrong. Who could speak Greek backwards. But I looked in a concordance for 5 minutes one day, and I got it right. Don't believe them. Don't believe them. He speaks your Deutsch. Amen? He's sprechen your Deutsch. He habla English. He does. He speaks the English, and he knows how you think, and he wrote your Bible in English. He teaches you the doctrines in English so you'll know them, so you won't slip up and let somebody else con you into believing something that's not true. Amen. Matthew 7:28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Yes, you should read the Gospels for doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the Bible colleges and seminaries, the scribes. Taught them as one having authority. Mark chapter 1. They were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? And what new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. They were astonished at his doctrine. You can learn doctrine from Jesus. By the way, that was the book of... Let's see here in Matthew, the book of Matthew. And there are some people who will tell you, don't even read, Matthew is not written for you. You cannot get any doctrine from the book of Matthew. That's wrong. Mark chapter 4, verse 2. Look at this. He taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now, I had a conversation with a pastor one time a couple years ago. That was a nice conversation. And he has asked me some questions. I said, well, here's what I believe. And I started reeling off what I believe. I started giving him scripture. And I mentioned, I said, now, in the parable of the seed and sower, here's what Jesus said. He said, well, I don't get my doctrines from the parables. Well, you should. Because Jesus taught his doctrine how? In the parables. That's how he taught it. You want to understand doctrine? Go study those parables. That's his doctrine. In fact, the parables are God's way of making it easy for you to understand it. Because you know what he's doing? He's drawing a picture of what the doctrine looks like. That's what the parable is for. Romans chapter 16, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. He said, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. In other words, the belly represents the lust and the desires of the flesh. Your belly, according to the Bible, and you can search this out, but your belly encompasses from the stomach on down to the loins. And if there's any two things in a human being that demands attention, it's your belly. Because when you get hungry, gotta eat! Okay? And he said, they serve their appetites, their fleshly appetites. This is why they're doing it. Whether it's lust, or whether it's greed for gain, or whether it's pride and the gain of power over people, he said, they serve their belly. Their doctrine is not coming to you from the scriptures. It's coming to you out of their own covetousness. He said, so don't trust it. He said, avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus, but their own belly. And by good words, look at this, by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of who? Simple. Remember what I said about the Bible being plainly written. Paul said, don't let anybody take you away from the simplicity that is in Christ. And I want to tell you something. I'm not going to mention names or doctrines. But if it takes you a whole week of seminars to learn how to understand the Bible, there's something not right with that. If they have to take you and it makes it real complicated about what you can and cannot believe from the scriptures, then I'm not sure that I would buy that. Okay? Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. If you open up to Malachi chapter 2 and look in verse 8, you can believe that. I don't even know what it says. But what I'm telling you is every verse in the Bible, every word, is where our doctrine should come from. Because I do not believe that this verse over here contradicts this verse over here. I do not believe that. I believe that the Bible is one word, one book, one doctrine, one faith, one baptism. That's what I believe this Bible is. All right? So anyway, he said, mark them which cause divisions. And that word mark, I want you to think about what's coming down the road. A mark. And I think the Bible's trying to teach us how to spot how it's coming. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. I think that's going to play into it somehow. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth, and I want to say this to, I don't know how many people here is on Facebook, but probably a lot of people watch me today is on Facebook. You watch them rascals on Facebook. They're trolling Facebook, looking, they're waiting around the corner, waiting to pull you into their doctrine. Watch them. And if they can't give you 20 scriptures on what they believe, run from them people. Block them if you have to. Get away from them. Can I get an amen out of God's people? Amen. You stay away from those people. And I'll tell you this right now. I want you people sitting in this church to listen to me. And this would apply to the groups that are part of this church that are on the internet. If I knew that there was someone coming behind my back to you in private and trying to steal you away from this flock, you better count on me being mean to them. I will. I will be mean to them. I'm going to do everything in my power to use a rod to chase them wolves away from you. Now, that might make you mad. You might be mad at me. I don't care. I mean, I want your friendship and I want your love. But if I found out there was someone going, if I found out someone's going to Taylor here and trying to subvert her with false doctrine, I'm going to be mean about it. I'm going to get her daddy involved. Jim, I'm going to let you handle it. You're big and tough. That's what I'm going to do. And it might make his daughter mad at him. Trying to protect the flock. That's our job. Okay? Speak the truth in love, and may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. 1 Timothy 3:4, and as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some, that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. And I've had people send me email with set up questions. So, Pastor, are you saying that you believe blankety, 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 blank? And I know what they're trying to do, Gary. They're trying to set me up. They're trying to get a response from me so they can say, he's a heretic. Okay? And so if I've got something to say to you, I'm not going to try to say, now, do you think this, or are you like this, or you know what I'm going to do? Let me show you what the scripture says. And go from Ephesians to Isaiah to Psalms to Revelation to Jude to Matthew. I'm going to go the whole gamut of everything that I know from scripture to try to show you this is what the Bible says. But they'll come after you with fables and things that'll stir up questions and strife, trying to get you over to their doctrine. Don't fall for it. 1 Timothy 4, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith, that means the Bible, and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. How many of y'all know some of those? Say amen. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. The bottom line is, if you'll just learn what this Bible says, the wolves won't come after you. They can't. They can't bother you, all right? All right, next week we're going to pick it back up on the gifts of the Spirit. I've explained myself now where my doctrine is going to come from, all right? I'm not going to sit and watch Joyce Myers and Benny Hinn this week to explain to you the gifts of the Spirit. Well, Benny said, some people ought to be wearing a bracelet. What would WWJD, what would Joyce do? Yeah. Heavenly Father, Lord, save us. God, Lord, we're like wild animals, God. Save us with doctrine. Save us, Lord, with teaching and understanding from this Bible. Save us, God, Lord, according to the whole counsel of your word. Lord, teach us and edify us, God, and bring us, Lord, to godliness through the words that are in this book. And Lord, I thank you, God, for good men that you have sent to me in my life that have helped me to understand doctrine. And Lord, while I may not see eye to eye with every one of them, Lord, I have good friends in the ministry, men that I would call right now. If I had a problem, I'd call them right now, God, and want their counsel. But I don't know that I agree with them on everything. But God, I know they love the book. I know they love the Bible. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would just cause us, Lord, to just want to know what this book says. And that we're going to accept a high standard, not the low standard that's been given by some. Well, just believe what I say and you'll do it. God, help us to accept a high standard. That if we can't see it plainly in the scriptures, it's not there. Lord, teach us that and help us, we pray. Bless your word in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.